We're going to talk today about a concept, about an idea called destiny. Now, we love the idea of destiny. There's something that's just really compelling, and that's we just love to think about the culture around us. Society loves to think about what is our destiny, what is our future, what is our future outcome. And this has been a long-running fascination with humankind. One of probably the most well-known stories of destiny is the story, the old myth of Oedipus. Now, you may have remembered that story from a Greek philosophy class, a political science. I encountered it, I believe,
and Tom
in a
Lehrer got a hold of
in
it.
Yeah, well, in a political theory class, political science class. And what is the story of Oedipus? Oedipus was born, the myth goes, to a king and to a queen. And Oedipus, there was a prophecy about Oedipus that he would someday kill his father and marry his mother. Pleasant stuff, right? This is the subjects of Greek myth. And so his father, not wanting him to fulfill this prophecy, set him out on the mountain, staked him to the ground, and left him to die. He said, better that you die than that you fulfill this prophecy. Well, a shepherd comes along and rescues him and takes him to another town where he is raised by a king and a queen. And so Oedipus comes across this prophecy. He learns that this is what his destiny is. And so he says, I better get out of town. Because he thought the king and the queen in that town were his parents. He said, oh, I got to get away from here. I don't want to fulfill my destiny. And so what does he do? He is traveling, he's sojourning, and he comes across an old man in the street. They fight about who has the right of way, and he kills him. And then he moves to a town that coincidentally has just happened to lose a king. Their king has died. And he solves this great riddle, this great mystery, and saves the city from the Sphinx. And then he marries the queen. And of course, the end of the story is that he had killed his father and that he had now married his mother. And that when that came out, he pierced his eyes out and his mother killed herself. And it was a very happy ending to the story of Oedipus. But this idea of being destined for something is just throughout our culture, throughout the history, throughout philosophy, throughout any kind of writing that you'll find. And today it seems like this idea of destiny is something that's often presented in a very, very positive light. That person is destined for greatness. You say, look at that young man's talents. Look at that young woman's talents. Look at her play the violin. She is destined for greatness. He is destined to be a president someday. That team is destined to win it all. We think of destiny in a very positive light. But we come in our scripture lesson for today to a prophet named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was used of God in a mighty way. And we come to see his call today from the Lord. And Jeremiah's call that he had, his destiny, if you will, his plan that God had laid out for his life, was not one of ease, was not one of glory, was not one of a very comfortable and satisfying, physically, fleshly speaking, life. His destiny is something that is far different. And I think that for Christians, we have this idea, oh, that I could be used of God in a mighty way. Oh, that I could have a wonderful destiny that God has for my life. The plan, I hope it's really glorious. But we don't always realize that with the plans that God gives for us, with the destiny, if you will, that He has for us, it may very well be not the comfortable life we were looking for. In fact, we may be destined for discomfort. Destined for discomfort as Jeremiah was. Let's go turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll be there to start this morning, but we'll be looking around at a few different places. And as I say every week, if you have a Bible, make sure that's open so you can be participating here. And if you don't, we have some extra Bibles right over there in the Bible Lost and Found. I'd encourage you to grab that so you can follow along and we can all be on the same page. Let's talk first of all about a choice. Let's think, stop and think for a moment about those words that Brother Jerry read for us in verse 5. This is God, this is Jehovah speaking to Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That is an amazing statement by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. To say to this young man, Jeremiah, at the very beginning of his prophetic ministry, listen, Jeremiah, before you were a twinkling in the eyes of your parents, I knew you. Not only did I know you, I sanctified you. Not only did I sanctify you, I ordained you with a task to do. Let's just go over each of those verbs. There's three verbs there. God knew. God sanctified. And God ordained. Now, this is going back over ground that we talked about some last week, but let's just do a very brief bit of review. God knew Jeremiah before he was even formed in the womb. And we know that Scripture says that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Paul says in Romans that whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Folks, we are dealing with a God who is not living in time like we are. We are a child of a God who is yesterday, today, and forever. Not only is a day with him as 1,000 years, but he is above our time. In a sense that from the foundation of the world, he was also here with you and with me. And when our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, we can at least have a faint idea of how God's foreknowledge works, how he knows us ahead of time. He knows exactly who we are and what we're going to do in life. And here in Jeremiah's time, he says, I knew you. I knew you from before I even started forming you in your mother's belly. Sanctified. What does this word sanctified? Does this mean that he made Jeremiah holy? That he somehow purified him and justified him from the womb? Well, there is a sense in that because we know, as we talked about last week, there's a sense that we don't fully understand how God's predestination works in keeping with the will that he gives us and the choice that he commands us to make in believing. But there is that sense in which we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. But this word here, sanctified, is the Hebrew word kadosh, which really means to be set apart. It's like God said to Jeremiah, because I know you, because I know who you are and what you will do, I am setting you apart for my service. It's almost like I'm putting my mark on you. And so he was, before birth, set apart to be a special servant of God. And then ordained. What was he ordained to do? I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Because I know you, because I knew you from before birth, because I separated you, I set you apart from before birth, I also ordained you. If you will, I gave you this plan, this job that you are to accomplish, this role that you are to fulfill in your life. You have been ordained for my service. And what a comfort this should be to us. Now, we can get lost in a million details. How does this work? I don't understand. Well, it's because we don't understand, fully understand, a God that is above time. A God that is fully beyond our comprehension in his ways and in how he decides. But nonetheless, we should preach Scripture in what it says. New, sanctified, and ordained. And we also need to understand that God has known us from before we were born as well. That God has known who you are, and that in a very real sense, God has ordained you to a role that you will play in the drama of redemption. That as we've talked about at this church over the many, many years, we are all playing a part in the drama of redemption, that is God gathering out of the world a special people for himself. Now, just like in any play that you would go to, any musical, any production that you would see, some people have different roles. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who makes your role to differ from someone else's? You might be on stage for a long time, or maybe just for a short period of time. Someone has a minor role, and someone has a more public role. And that's undoubtedly true. But that doesn't change the fact that those roles were known of God, that we were sanctified of God, that we were ordained of God. And when we look for these roles that we are to fulfill in life, first of all, understand that you do have a role, that you are intended to fulfill a part. And secondly, don't chase your part, the part that you want. Paul makes this clear, and we'll look into this a little bit later, that seek to fulfill God's part for your life. Seek to fulfill the one that he has ordained you to from before you were born. That is where you need to be looking. So we see, first of all, a choice, and then secondly, we see a call. Paul says, those that he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those he did predestinate, them he also called. Right? And so we see here, because God has set apart Jeremiah, and because he has ordained him, now we see this special call, and it starts in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. It came. There was a recipient in this. And this was Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to him. We see, first of all, the initiator. As we talked about last week, God is the initiator. God is the intervener in our lives. That our coming to faith in Jesus Christ, that our eyes being opened and enlightened to the truth of the gospel, is not because we figured it out. It's not because our reason said, oh, this makes so much sense now. Why? Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness. And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the wisdom of the world. And so, when we think of how we came to Christ, we'd all have to admit that it was like the light bulb came on, that God's Spirit showed us our need. God's Spirit showed us that we are sinners in need of salvation and on the broad way to destruction. And when that light bulb, if you will, went off, when God intervened and we saw who we are and we saw our condition, we believed. We trusted. We said, okay, I see my need. And just as in that sense, we see that here with Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto him. Then there was this, in this initiator, there was this intervention. Now, this is not unique to Jeremiah. Go look through the prophets and see how many of them were minding their own business, if you will. And suddenly the intervention of God said, here's my call for you. Here's the plan that I want you to fulfill. Here's your destiny. Let's think out loud. Rattle some off that you can remember just now off the top of your head that were called of God in a special way. Gideon, Moses, Jonah, Amos, excuse me, Samson, Isaiah was in the temple, Hosea and Isaiah. You know, all these, there's a good New Testament example too. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, there was a message to God, from God to his parents. An angel showed up and said, hey, guess what, Zacharias? Guess what your son is going to be? Your son is going to turn many to the Lord. He's going to prepare the way. And all these names you've been rattling off, go back in Scripture and look at their story. Here's another good one that we just read through in our yearly Bible reading calendar. Elisha. What happened to Elisha? God said to Elijah, go call Elisha and anoint him to be your successor. Isn't that funny? You'd think you maybe would have consulted with Elisha before you did that, right? No. God says, go anoint Elisha. And Elijah goes to him and says, throws his mantle on him. And Elisha says, okay, let me just go make sure my oxen and all are taken care of, and then I'll be right with you. This intervention of God, this wonderful call that he made to each of these men to say, this is your destiny. This is your plan. This is the purpose that I have for your life. And now, what was this initiative? The initiative that God had for Jeremiah, a prophet unto the nations, to be the spokesman of God, the messenger, the instrument of God's word to others. Now, God's ordained us to the very same kind of task. He has ordained us, every single one of us. You don't need any special call of God to this task because you've already received it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You are my witnesses, Jesus says. Paul says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ to a lost world. That is the common call of every single one of us. And here, in this case, it was a wonderfully special call from God to Jeremiah to say, this is what I have for you. You are going to be my mouthpiece to a wicked and rebellious nation. And therein we have the challenge. Maybe you'd say, what a cool destiny that Jeremiah had. What an amazing thing. God to be speaking through him. God to be giving him his words to speak. That he gets to stand up before all these people and say, thus saith the Lord. Wow! What an amazing thing that is. And then we stop and we look at the life of Jeremiah. We stop and look at what that call meant on the ground in the day-to-day reality of Jeremiah's life. And you get a little bit different picture of the destiny that God had for him. Oh yes, it was a glorious destiny. Yes, it was a wonderful life that Jeremiah was able to give in service for his Savior. But first, let's understand a stretching planned. There's a stretching that is planned because Jeremiah fully understands the issue here. Look what he says. Then said I, in response to God's call, this, look at verse 6, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, who does that sound like?
Moses.
He said the exact same, he said pretty much the exact same words. What about Gideon? Remember, Gideon said, I'm from the smallest tribe. I'm the least of that tribe. I'm the least of my father's house. I can't do that. And what God was working in Jeremiah's life and he was planning in his life was this stretching of the gifts and the talents that God had given him. He was saying, you know what? You're not there right now. You have a shortcoming right now. You in your flesh cannot speak the words that I'm saying to you. But with my strength, you can. You know, this is the very first step, if you will, well, maybe not the very first one, but a step that we need to get to if we're going to meet God's destiny for our life. It's, I can't. If you don't get to that point, you're never gonna find and fulfill God's destiny. Why? Because God's given you a plan that you can't accomplish. God's given you something to do that your flesh is too weak to do, that your human wisdom will fail. Now, how many preachers, how many pastors, how many other leaders have we seen rise up, and maybe there's a thriving church, it seems like. Maybe there's people coming in from all over, and this church is growing and expanding. And then something comes out about that leader's life that you see, and you didn't at the time see the rot that was going on in that person's life. But it was there. What happened? The human wisdom ran out. The fleshly strength failed, and they fell on their face. If you are to fulfill God's destiny, if you are to carry out His call on your life, you've got to understand you've got a shortcoming. You've got a weakness. And until you submit yourself to that weakness, as Jeremiah did, Lord, I'm a child. I can't speak. I can't give your word to this rebellious people. You're never going to meet it. But there's, in addition to this stretching plan we see in the life of Jeremiah, we see sufficiency promised. Sufficiency promised. Let's look at what the Lord says unto him in verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. What a wonderful, comforting message from God to a young man who says, God, I can't do this, who is confronted with his own need and his own need of God's sufficiency. And God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the words, and you'll speak those words. And I'm going to give you those words, and not only that, I'm going to be with you to deliver you. God gets the same message again later in the chapter. Verse 17. Brother Dave, do you have verse 17 that you might be able to read for us? Read first verse 17 through 19, if you will.
Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee.
Sufficiency promised. Yes, there is going to be struggle. Yes, I'm going to make you a fenced city. I'm going to make you bronzed, if you will, against them. Now he says, don't be afraid of them. Don't shy away from them, because otherwise I'm going to confound you. Isn't that interesting that the people who are the most squeamish about being bold witnesses for Jesus Christ are the ones who typically are the most confounded by the world? The ones that are least willing to put themselves out there, the ones that are least willing to be a light around, are the ones that sometimes get the most embarrassed. And the ones that are strong in standing up for truth are the ones that God fulfills that promise of making them, if you will, a brazen wall against the attacks of the enemy. But we see here this principle again stretching throughout Scripture. Hebrews 13 says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord's my helper. Why would I fear? Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may be seen through me. And we need to understand that in the destiny that God has for us, in the plan that He has, the purpose that He has, there's stretching that'll be planned to grow you. Because as we see, the trials that we go through in our lives are meant, what? For patience. And that patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, watching or needing nothing. Sufficiency promised. And God says, in this stretching, I will be there. I will give you your words to say, and I will deliver you from your enemies. And then finally, what do we have from Jeremiah chapter 1? We have a struggle that's personal. The nickname that is commonly used for Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. And we say this because when you go through the book of Jeremiah and you see all the times that Jeremiah is pouring out his heart to the Lord, then you read the book of Lamentations. What is it to lament? It is to mourn. It is to weep. This was a man who knew what it was like to cry out to God in agony and in grief of spirit. He had a call from God, and it resulted in remarkable discomfort. Go look through the book of Jeremiah. What happened in his life? God tells him in Jeremiah 12, yeah, your family's left you. Your family's out of here. You think the priests that are around, the false priests, the false prophets are going to respect you? No, they're not. They're going to try to undermine your message. The rulers of the people will try to silence you. What happened to Jeremiah? He was cast into prison with just a little bit of bread. What was happened? Cast into a cistern that was filled with mud and had to be pulled out of his misery by the Ethiopian Ebed-Melech. He would go and preach the word of the Lord faithfully and have people spit in his face and push him aside. Then after the captivity, what happened? The people came to him and said, should we go down into Egypt? He said, no, don't go down into Egypt. Stay here. This is my plan. They said, ha ha, you're coming with us. Drag him to Egypt against his will, where he was forced to live. This was a man who had such a special choice. There was such a special choice of God, and that had such a wonderful call. You are the one that are going to be my messenger. Speak what I say unto you. And we see such challenge. We see such discomfort in his life that could have been so discouraging. God, you called me to be your prophet. You told me you knew me from birth. You knew me for this? You chose me for this? You called me to this? Paul says in 2 Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And really, if we look through our Bibles, if we look through the New Testament testimonies of saints, can you find a really comfortable one? Can you find one that really had the easy life, the laid-back life, the life on the easy street? That old hymn says, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Turn to Hebrews 11 for just a moment. This is the great chapter of faith in the Bible. Look at this description of what these men went through. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better for us, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11. This is the testimony of Paul. Paul is talking to the 2 Corinthians and saying, you want to see what I have gone through?
for the cause of Christ? You want to see what my testings, my discomforts have been? Look in verse, starting in 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? This is the Word of God. This is true. This is the Holy Spirit-inspired testimony of Paul. And I leave you with this thought. First of all, do you understand that you have been known before the foundation of the world to fulfill a plan that God has for your life as a child of His? Do you understand that there is a destiny for you to accomplish? There is something that God has put you on earth here to do. Not just to go through life and consume H2O and be a strainer of food and water, but to have a special purpose that He has given you, that He knew you, that He set you apart, and that He ordained you to. Do you understand that there is a call on your life? That God is giving to you and wants to give you if you haven't seen it yet. If you have not been fulfilling that, that you can ask Him to show you clearly the job that He has for you. And finally, do you understand that there may very well be severe challenge alongside that? That there will be, if you are living godly in Christ Jesus, because you will suffer persecution, that there will be a struggle in your life. Paul says that though our outer man perish, our outward man perish, it's dying away. Our inward man is being renewed day by day. Friends, that is the promise of God's call to your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to lead you down the easy street. I'm not going to lead you down the Broadway. I'm not going to lead you down the path of least resistance. You're going down the narrow way. You've entered through the straight gate. You are going down the narrow way. It's not going to be easy, but I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be your sufficiency. I will be your strength and weakness. I will be the brazen wall that is holding back the forces of evil that are going against you. So let's get rid of this idea that we are somehow destined for the easy street, somehow destined for an easy life. I have come to Christ, and I'll never hunger or thirst. That is true, and we're going to speak about that later. The inward sufficiency that Christ gives us is all in all. But let's understand that with that will come struggle. With that will come discomfort, as it did for Jeremiah and for all these prophets. And let's accept God's destiny for discomfort in our life and ask Him how we can fulfill that plan on a day-to-day basis. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this testimony of this man named Jeremiah, this prophet to the nations that You knew, that You ordained, that You sanctified before he was even born. Lord, may we understand the call that You have on our lives. May we understand the sufficiency that You have to lead us through this calling that You have for us. And may we bear joyfully the struggles, the trials, the persecutions that come with this, knowing, Lord, that You will never leave us or forsake us, and knowing the reward that You promise eternally to those that follow You by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.